Brian Alvarez here. You're listening to the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd.
You are listening to the number one AEW podcast, the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by my favorite host, Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd. So if you want to know everything that's going on in the world of All Elite Wrestling, AEW, then you need to listen to the Kicking Out Podcast. Please tell Thunder Rosa I said hello.
What's going on, KOP Nation? It is Friday night. It's December 26th, 2025. I hope everybody out there had a very Merry Christmas. Maybe you still have some Christmases coming up. I know I do this weekend. So hopefully everybody has a continuous good holiday season. I'm Tanner Lee, Austin Shepherd. The Shep is in the house. And the reigning, now defending KOP Predictions champion, who finally has his title after a month waiting, Pluggo of Love Wrestling's Between Two Beards is in the house as well.
It only took, what, 6 weeks to get this thing? When was the last pay-per-view?
You got it before the next prediction show. That's all I'm saying.
Is that how we do things at the KOP? That shouldn't fly under my regime as champion, but I'm going to allow it one time. This is your one warning, Shep.
You'll have to deliver that baby back to me on Monday.
I will throw this thing like heavyweight style into the lake.
Mox in the house. He's pumped. He's pumped for the World's End Prediction Show. He said, woo, wine, woo, beer, woo, woo, woo. And he said, took you long enough, Shep, you bum.
Yeah,
dude, Majin should do Ric Flair's cameos for him. Jesus oh my Christ. God!
Did you guys see the last cameo that went viral?
Like $1,000.
You know what though? There's a little bit of that, a little truth serum that Flair had going, and he was basically warning the guy. I mean, come on.
I mean, still, dude, for $1,000.
Is that really what he charges on cameo?
He charges a lot.
I just actually had a cameo done by our good friend, Darby Allin fan, Chud, because we were in the playoffs of fantasy football, and he had Frank the Tank from Barstool do one.
Oh, and that's good.
And I mean, Frank's obviously not as famous as Rick, but right. I mean, as of lately, I would say more people would know. $500 starting price. If you want 24-hour delivery, it's a bump. Average length of video is 1 minute 17 seconds. He did one. The last one he did today was at 11:08 this morning, so at least he was sober, maybe.
Yeah. Bloody Mary's breakfast, dude.
But that one was $500 plus.
Okay, so not $1,000, but still pretty steep.
Still for pretty a steep. Oh, very
I don't. I listen. I would not. I think cameos are cool. The most I've ever spent on a cameo, I think, was $100 for a Christmas gift.
And it was $50 for a gift one time.
Yeah, it was a Bob Does Sports one.
You guys are bougie. No, I will say, guys, I have to be honest as we head into these predictions. I'm feeling very comfortable today because Mrs. Pluggo bought me an actual chair. Instead of just our dining room chair that I use for the streams I've used for that. So I'm very comfortable. So that might throw off I don't have my edge to me. You know, I'm getting soft.
We got you right where we want.
This is like the first, I just put it together before said stream. This is the first time. It's got a back to it. That's oh man.
So if you assembled it and you just immediately fall out of the picture, we know you maybe missed a part.
Yes. Well, the reason that this chair became a thing is because I actually was interviewing Jody Threat once for Love Wrestling. And towards the end of the interview, if you watch it, you'll see it was a wooden chair at the time and it snapped and broke. And I fell and popped immediately back up and did the rest of the interview, holding onto the table. So then we upgraded to our metal dining room chairs and she gets annoyed with me bringing the chair up and down every day. So she bought me an actual chair to stream in, and I'm comfortable, guys. I might be losing my edge here.
Well done, Mrs. Pluggo. Yeah, so we can send thanks to her if we win the belt back. All right.
Yeah, if you guys actually, you know, pull your heads out of your asses and pick correctly.
Darby Allin's going to win everything. You're an idiot, Pluggo. I wish JPJ was here. Roll the tape. Roll the tapes, Tanner. Yeah, I know you got the clips. Roll the clips. He said those things.
Hey.
I wish I had a clip.
Mrs. Pluggo
is
very smart. She figured she'd get him this chair so he loses his edge and he's comfortable, because it's a lot cheaper getting him a chair than redoing all the doorways in their house so his head can fucking fit through.
This is true. We actually bought a house with wide doors just for that. I actually think she got me all this nice stuff because she wants me to stay down here longer. She's like, if he's
likes her a long time,
he can do more watch logs now because he's not comfortable for 4 or 5 hours.
Well, anybody listening,
points. I'm Shep. I don't know. Hey, listen, I'm gonna get that belt to you, man. I promise. I'll be there. I still haven't seen you deliver the belt. You get somebody else do it.
Well, I had to work today, and today felt like a Monday.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, today was weird.
Today
was weird.
Well, because I have weekends off, so like I was just like, why am I here?
I worked today, but it felt, yeah, it did. I don't know if it felt like a Monday, but it didn't feel like a Friday for sure. And it felt like, even though I was decently busy, it felt like the day took forever. Like I kept looking at the clock. I'm like, it's only 2:30. Yeah, yeah. Like, what the heck's going on? Yeah, but anybody listening to the audio version of this, you can't see this, and you haven't heard his voice. That's because Paul is not joining us. He was planning to, and then according to him, he got called into work tonight or something.
As your champion, can I interject real quick? What the fuck, Paul?
Yep.
I'm here strictly for you. I was gonna say how honored and proud I was that Tanner and Chep even let you in on this prediction, because they tend to just kick you to the curb whenever they feel like it. And I was honored to pick against a worthy adversary, because at least you got your head on your shoulders. These other two guys, they did a real bad job. Shep, I think, what, did you get the first single-digit prediction in history of the Kicking Out podcast last
8
month?
8 points.
Not even – you can't even go like this, my guy.
I don't want to. That I can only – I get one hand.
That's right.
All right, but Paul did send his picks in, so I do have his picks to read. So he's in this, even though he's not present here tonight. But Pluggo, being the champ, you get the honors of selecting which match we're predicting first.
Let's predict the Continental Classic final. I'm just kidding. See where your guys' heads at. Strategy. Okay. I would like to talk, first and foremost, Jamie Hayter, Chris Statlander for the AW Women's World Championship.
All right, if
you could cue that up.
I got you.
Hey, look at that.
Got Chris Statlander defending against Jamie Hayter tomorrow night, World's End, in Chicago, Illinois, at the Now Arena in Hoffman Estates. Don't call it Chicago. They get offended by that, so I'm told.
I'm not going, so I'll call whatever.
Yeah, I was wondering what ended up with that. But
It wasn't meant to be this time.
Maybe next
time, Tony Khan. Right. Maybe next time.
All right. Well, champ, we'll let you even lead off with your pick. How about that?
All right. I don't know if you just want a straight pick or you want me to talk a little backstory here. I got to say, guys, I think this is one of the best well-built championship matches I've seen in a while. Mutual respect all the way around. I even loved that Jamie hit her with the haterade, and even though she was kind of concerned, she went, whatever. And Stat respected it, right? Because, like, this is what it's built on, mutual respect. I, for one, want to see Jamie Hayter win the AEW Women's World Championship. I don't think it's here. If this match was maybe four pay-per-views down the line, I might pick Jamie Hayter. I'm going to take Stat. I'm going to take her for 5. I'm going to start right in the middle.
Right in the safe zone.
Yeah, you write that down, Shep. It ain't going to matter, because you're going to do something boneheaded and be like, yeah, Darby Allin never loses. Never. Ricochet winning the national title, you moron.
That was a dumb idea. Still think it's a dumb idea.
You think what you want, but this says otherwise. This says it was a great idea. That's why I'm surprised.
Who wins this? The fans. Okay,
absolutely, yeah. Man. I'm so psyched for this. This might be on the short list of matches I'm most excited for.
All right, Shep, who you got?
I'm along the lines of Pluggo. I also don't think Stats had a long enough title run. But yeah, I do like the build of this match. There's a lot of really, really good wrestling matches on this card. This has a potential to steal. Not saying it will, but it has a potential. I got Statlander for 8.
Woo!
Cat Daddy for 8. All right. I like
Moron. And these haters win it.
I, too, have Chris Statlander winning. I don't think it's her time to lose the title yet. We got another couple months. Maybe come around Revolution in March. Maybe that's the time she drops it, but not yet. I got Stat for 9 confidence points.
Ooh, wow. Tanner definitely wants his belt back.
And Paul, we are 4 for 4 with Stat winning. Paul has 8 on Chris Statlander. So 5's the lowest, 9's the highest, 2 8s. So let's just say if Jamie Hayter wins, we're all hurting, but Plug will be hurting the least. So
I got some other things in the works. That's why.
You got something else cooking. All right. Chip, you're up next.
All right, let's go with the greatest tag team of all time, FTR versus the Bang Bang Club.
Bang Bang Gang.
Club
Bang Gang. Bang Bang Club.
Same thing.
Gang. Yeah. And it's a Chicago street fight. Paul's favorite. Insert city name street fight.
So, again, I think it's a little early in their latest title run. Not a bad buildup for this tag match. I mean, they've been at it for 3 weeks-ish.
Yeah, they had a good match. Real good match a week or two ago.
I know the other gun, Colton Gunn's banged up with a knee injury. So that's why they got him and Juice together. Just don't think it's the right time to put the belts on them. So I got FTR for 9.
That's usually a pretty predictable thing that Shep's going FTR heavy on these predictions. So
for 9.
More times than not, it pays off good for him though. Well, Paul, who of course is not here, he's agreeing with your FTR pick. He has taken FTR for 7. I am also taking FTR. I wouldn't be shocked if we do see Colton Gunn or I return, but I still don't think that helps them win. I would be shocked if Jay White returns. I think his return's coming in 2026. I think it'll be a good match. Could be a show-stealing match, even though it's a street fight. But I've been vocal about this. I think the team to take it off FTR will be Cope and Christian. I think we do see them return after said match tomorrow night. I got FTR for 6.
Ooh. No love for the Bang Bang Gang, huh?
I like them.
They got $200,000, bro.
And Juice is putting into 401ks.
But I don't disagree. In the street fights, what worries me, because the street fight with all these other shenanigans, things could happen.
True.
But I think you'll see Cope and Christian get involved in said street fight.
Okay.
So I'm gonna take FTR for 3. I'm not super confident about it though. But
you were pulling the trigger with Bang Bang Gang there for.
I want to, but I got some. I'm slow playing this one.
All
right. I don't want Chef to spill his bubbly vodka. Shirley Temple thing he drinks or whatever. Hey, Chef, what are you drinking?
Boop. Yeah. Where's the?
He doesn't have it. He doesn't have it ready.
Like, where is
it? You were glitching just a bit. What am I drinking?
Yes. What are you drinking? Okay.
No free ads, but there's an idea what the bottle looks like.
Yep.
Bastards.
Why are you calling them bastards? Because they won't hook you up with sponsorship?
Yeah, we've reached out. They won't even send a no thank you back. It's just no reply.
Oh, dude, those are the worst. I'm like, when it comes to that kind of stuff, I'm like, just tell me no. Don't leave me on red.
That's even worse. Tell us we're too small. Tell us.
Even care if it's an auto-generated, like, nope, sorry, we're not interested. At least I can sleep better at night knowing that you're not interested.
Yes.
It just takes a no. I'm drinking, it's not sponsored by you guys, but sponsored by me, a Baller Melon like I drank last time I was here and won the championship. So I'm sticking with the same thing from Go Brewing. A delicious non-alcoholic.
I got Old Faithful from Marie, a little Coors Light.
Is that a tall boy or is your hands that small?
No, it's a tall boy.
Okay. Yeah,
that's it. Hey, listen, I hung out with Tanner in person. He got the tiny hands. He shook my hand and I was like, are you sure? No. He didn't shake my hand because I had stitches.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. You cut yourself.
True story. True story.
I did.
Majin said, does Shep ever pick against FT Boer? He also says, especially since Cope is done filming Percy Jackson, he's coming back. And Majin's has having some whiskey and Pepsi, saving the wine for a bit. Crown whiskey, of course. Wouldn't expect anything different.
I'm just excited that Cope's coming back because that way I can put away the fantasy of him being John Cena's last match. Because there's still hope for Cope.
Still hope, always.
You were still waiting for that music to hit, weren't you?
You know, if that Chris Jericho appears, it could be his last match.
Well, you know, because, you know, Cena said he's retired. Yeah, right, buddy. I don't believe you for a second.
All right. So now it's my pick for next match.
Sorry, this is an AEW podcast. Goddamn sickos. All good.
Freaking sickos.
Yeah,
we geez. Talk. Oh. I talk just about whatever is on my.
Oh, yeah. We've noticed.
Oh, we know. Yeah. Oh, yes. We know.
The Shep rabbit holes, all of a sudden the viewership just goes.
And it was funny. I was driving home to do this, and I was about a 35-minute drive. And for some reason, the latest Jim Cornette podcast came on. I was listening to it, and I mean, he was this was the last podcast he did of the year, and he went on a Mick Foley political rant. And I mean, it literally lasted. It was 35-mile drive, and from when I was in the driveway to my driveway, he never changed subject. And Brian Last maybe said three sentences in 35 minutes.
That sounds like a Cornette podcast.
Sounds like Jimmy.
By the way, you guys have these are nice. They're like, but they're not Velcro. This is legit, like craftsmanship.
It's a real belt.
Did you forge this yourself, like Jack Perry?
I did.
Unfortunately, not.
No,
I did.
I mean, I didn't.
I have a metal shop out back.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It still kind of has that hint of Boston tuna on it, too. It's
jeez.
It's got that. Yeah,
that'll never come out. That, soaked into leather.
That JPJ's refrigerator.
God. Next to the damn tuna fish.
I don't know where I'm putting this thing. Let's
see. Well, don't let it get too comfortable. That's all I got to say. Sticking with the tags, but we're going with the women's tags. The Babes of Wrath versus Mercedes Moné, the CEO, and Athena. Should be a fun one.
Hell yeah, it should.
Should be a fun one. Where's the dang? There it is. All right, I'll start us off here. Big Mercedes fan, but I think there's a story within the match, and that's Athena Mercedes. I think they end up one screws the other over, whether that's on purpose or accidental, leading to a feud, which Athena will ultimately take the TBS title off of Mercedes in a title versus title match down the road. I got the Babes of Wrath for 8 confidence points.
Wow.
Pluggo, what say you?
I'm not too far off of you there, Tanner. I don't disagree with your assessment there. Plus, you got to factor in, we're in the middle of the Mercedes kind of spiral right now. And I think Athena kind of senses that because the way they've been interacting, like, yeah, Mercedes is like, let's do this. But I think, you know, Athena's ever the, you know, to use the phrase opportunist from, you know, our buddy Cope, she might be thinking like, here's an opportunity to, and I don't know if they're going to coexist. The belts are brand new. I don't know if it's the right move to take something that we've just put so much goodwill into with the Babes of Wrath, and this is no disrespect to Mercedes, and put that belt on a person that everybody's like, let's be honest, a lot of people are getting sick of the belt collector gimmick. Give me Babes of Wrath for 9.
9, all right.
Swinging big, baby. Let's go, Harley Cameron, one of my favorite wrestlers of 2020.
Oh, I think she's a lot of people's one of their favorites.
She's the best.
I agree with that. I think you will get a Mercedes versus Athena match out of this match. Plus, and it's too early in these ladies' first title reign, being the inaugural champions. I really, really think they've tried to push Willow. And this is the way I think they can continue to do it. And obviously Harley Cameron has proved herself and really gotten over as one of her crowd favorites. So I'm agreeing with you guys. I have 4 points on it.
Four, the Babes of Wrath.
Yes. And there's the reason it's only four is because it's still Mercedes and she still is playing the belt collector gimmick. And I could see her wanting this belt and then them fighting obviously in between them and that lead to the match, but I don't think they're going to go that way.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe that's not wrong either. That could be.
And we are 4 for 4 across the board. Paul is agreeing exactly with Pluggo, Babes of Wrath for 9 confidence points.
That's the way to go, dude. Be with me, baby. See, Paul's a smart dude. He's also incredibly handsome. When he shows up to the freaking pod, God, Paul, make me hang out with these guys.
Couldn't say it better myself. All right,
back. Are you talking about Majin, or are you talking about Pluggo talking about Paul?
Take it how you want. All right. Champ, what match next?
Oh, is it me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
Nobody's ever called him champ before.
One, he's not wrong. Two, I was reading a text. I got it. Listen, long story short, my best friend for like since high school and his family came over and hung out because they're in town. And we went on this rant about, if we had $20 million, which college football program would we rebuild? And our wives were just like, shut up. So he just texted me and he goes, make UNLV football great again, baby.
Wow.
And Dan Mullen had a pretty good year this year. So.
Either that or we were talking New Mexico because they just got their hearts broken. Anyway.
Yeah, by Minnesota.
Let's chit-chat about this mixed nuts match because I don't really even know much about it. I don't know how it even came to be.
It kind of just
happened on the Dynamite or the Collision Christmas or something.
Yeah, the Mixed Nuts Mayhem. You got the Death Riders, Daniel Garcia, Marina Shafir, Claudio Castagnoli, Wheeler Yuta versus the conglomeration of Roderick Strong, Orange Cassidy, and TNT champ Mark Briscoe, and Timeless Tony Storm. They missed an opportunity here. Planters or some kind of nut company should have got in here with a sponsorship of the match. But they didn't do it.
You guys see the Tony Storm Wish for Christmas?
No.
Mm-mm.
You guys didn't see that?
No, I have a life, Shep.
No, enlighten us, Shep. Now you got to tell us.
It's Christmas season, man. I'm busy.
She either wanted or wished. I don't know how she said it, but she wished for new titties.
Nice.
I mean, we all wish for new titties? Ones or small ones? I mean, I'd like to have less of a titty come next year. But you know, okay. So this is why I can understand why they put the match together. I have not watched a bunch of wrestling this week. Just it's been crazy.
Sure,
busy family. Sure. You know,
you got kids.
Being
Heath Slater style.
Yeah, Heath Slater style. Being a champion and having kids and working a full time job and trying to carry this show on its back. You know, I'm just a busy guy.
Somebody's got to do it.
This one, like I said, you could either establish the Death Riders, these four, as a dominant force going into what we'll talk about later. We've talked about the storyline with the Mox and the Death Riders deteriorating, and I do think something's going to go down here at World's End. Or you could just, you know, do the fan favorites and get the night started off strong with the pot. So I'm going to take the conglomeration for one because I don't know either way you swing this match. I think you could talk me into it, and I think it makes sense. So I'm only going to put one on this seemingly meaningless match.
I'm going to go the different route here.
47. 93 points.
I think this is going to be your first match of many where the Death Riders are all included except one, since he's obviously busy later in the night. I think this starts a longer feud, Marina and Tony, which they started. So I'm going Death Riders for 3.
Death Riders for 3. Shep and I agreed on the winner and the points. I'm going Death Riders for 3. I almost went conglomeration and Tony. I could see Tony pinning Marina, but I think they probably pinned Roderick Strong. And wouldn't it be funny if Marina pinned her husband, Roderick Strong?
I don't think he'd find that funny. He'd probably find that exciting.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Before you bring up Paul's pick, I'm going to make a declaration here, and I will lose my absolute mind if I lose this belt on a mixed nuts match. Because right now, that's like the biggest difference right here. The mixed nuts match.
I could see this match being placed like right before the main event as like the cool down spot.
Sure.
I don't know.
And I'm just sitting there riding a high, and then this happens, and I'm just like, what the fuck?
Well, you are, it's 3-4, as Paul is going with the Death Riders for 4 points.
I used to like Paul. I really did, yeah. Man. I used to think
he was did a long time.
This is how he's one of the greats. And then, you know, he makes some decisions like that. What if he wins this belt? He's not even here. Listen, I'm not one of those delusional champions. I understand that this prestigious belt could be lost at any time. I understand I got to keep my head on a swivel, so I'm not going to say that I could lose it today. I could, but I'm not going to. But
good,
I could.
Good.
I don't want to lose it to Paul.
No, I don't blame him.
Well, I mean, hey, it's not WWE pick, so.
Yeah, you're probably yeah.
Paul is a he's more competitive here.
Embarrassing. All right, Shep.
Why don't you guys try being nice once in a while?
It is the holiday season, but
dude.
I'm very nice to Paul. Just the one time I was a little tipsy and I kicked him out of the pick, but that's okay.
This is why we're in this situation.
Yeah.
Because you're like, you know what? You're not JPJ. I'll take you on. Paul, you're out. And then you lost.
We got demolished.
Within two matches of a 15-match card.
It's your story.
Yeah. Tony Khan had too much booger sugar for me. All right. Just because Pluggo's been bringing him up since we went on the air.
Ooh.
Darby Allin versus Gabe Kidd.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Yeah,
this match came to be this week on Dynamite when Gabe attacked Darby out of nowhere backstage. So, and then Darby accepted the match later on in the week. So, yeah. And Gabe Kidd's kind of been your boy lately, Shep. You've brought him up a lot on the podcast lately. You've said he could potentially take over for the Death Riders. They get rid of Mox. You picked him as the national champion, I believe, at the end of next year on Sunday. So he's been your boy.
Stupid picks.
I think eventually when his time is done in New Japan, it'll be coming up.
It's believes after Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, I want to say it's in the first quarter sometime. So yeah. I think that's where he'll be headed. And obviously, if he's the national champion, the way they describe it, he can go anywhere and defend
right.
it. So
right.
If he wanted to go back to New Japan a couple times a year, very well. But I don't see him winning here. Okay. Because it is Darby Allin.
It is.
But I have Darby Allin for 2 points.
Whoa. Only two.
2 points.
He must not love it that much.
I have Darby Allin as well. I have him for 4 points. There were just a few matches I'm more confident in. I don't think Darby loses another one, but he has lost his fair share of matches lately. But that's why I'm picking him to win. But Gabe Kidd is kind of in the Death Riders. You never know. They could get involved somehow. But I think Darby needs a win here. So Darby for 4. Pluggo, you next, then we'll go Paul last.
How are they gonna get involved when they're getting pinned by Tony Storm, you nerds? They'd have to win. Like I would need them to win. I'm with you guys, only I'm gonna go 8 points for Darby Allin.
I had a feeling he was going heavy with Darby.
I'm going heavy with Darby because last time we saw Darby, he lost. The time after that, he was injured.
Right.
He needs a win, and he needs a big. Yep. Why not get one against the Death Riders boy? I don't love it. I'm going big because I think he's actually going to win this thing.
This match.
What about Paul?
Could decide things.
Could decide things. As Paul made some crazy pick, didn't he? He picked Gabe.
Paul
Kidd.
Went Gabe Kidd for 5 points.
Paul. All right. Respect.
5 points.
I'm also playing a little strategy here, trying to not stray too far off of you guys' picks, because if it's closer, it's a tie. I keep the belt.
True.
Sure. Champion's advantage.
Champion's advantage.
I think that that's going to get thrown out the window here towards the end. I got some off the wall stuff.
It's the best thing ever when you're champ. It's the suckiest thing when you're not. Damn it.
Man, how does that feel, Tanner, to like not hold this thing for a while? How's that feel?
I had a lot of ties going to Shep's advantage this
year. Listen, it's a safe space. You can tell me how it feels to.
I appreciate it.
You know, we can talk.
You're a cheap therapist. I appreciate it.
Oh, no, I'm not. Just wait till you get that bill, brother.
Ah, son of a.
What is it the chair that makes you think you can be a therapist now?
Yeah, actually, now that I got this chair. So check this out. I got this chair. She got me like this, like a magnetic pen holder and some notebooks now. So like I am just like, I got a new microphone and everything I got to set up to. She went all out, man. So now like I could be like, so Tanner, tell me how does it feel to be a loser? Like, where does that stem from? And I could do this.
She really doesn't want you to leave that room.
No, I'm telling you, man. I think it's all part of her master plan.
She's got an agenda for sure.
No, sure. I've told everybody that's ever asked me. She's my biggest fan, man. She sees the vision. She sees more in me than I see in myself sometimes. And she's like, this is what you love to do, so I'm going to do what I can. So I'm like,
that's awesome.
Yeah, she's pretty cool. So enough about her. Back to the picks, guys. Jeez. Stop turning. I'm not the one sitting in the therapist couch here. You are, Tanner.
True. Sure.
God.
Well, Continental Classic time. We're going with my boy, the Pro Star, Kyle Fletcher, versus John Moxley, whose character's starting to take a little interesting turn as of late. And where in the heck is the? There it is. Yeah, this is one of two semifinal matches for the Continental Classic. I thought Fletcher would be in the semifinals. But I wasn't sure about Mox, but I'm not complaining here. But yeah. I am, especially with the way he started, but I like the story they're telling. I like the story they're telling. He's cutting some baby face-like promos all of a sudden. I am going with Kyle Fletcher for 5 combat points.
Like, who finished third? Like, Mox had to win that match to get in this match. Who was the one?
Claudio.
Was it?
I think it was.
Yeah, it was Claudio.
He got kneed in the face by Roderick. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, this Continental Classic up until this point, I don't expect either one of these semifinal matches to suck at all. I think they're both going to be very good. As probably, and it could be recency bias, the best Continental Classic we've had.
I agree.
Like all the matches just absolutely slapped. Like every time, surprises up and down. I think, though, this is like I said earlier, I think this is where we start to see the demise and the. Like, because I've got the conglomeration winning, so the Death Riders are going to lose there, so they're mad. Claudio's mad. Mox is about to take an L to Kyle Fletcher. I think this whole thing's going to blow up at the end of that match. So I got Kyle Fletcher. I got him for 6 points.
6 for the Proto Star. Ship.
I think it's happening.
I believe we're going to get a turn, some type of different character out of Mox here in the next couple of months. Like you said, it's already started. I could see the Death Riders either putting a guy like Gabe Kidd here in a couple of months as the leader or elevating Claudio. Claudio would be a very good one. He already holds the CMLL Heavyweight Championship. I was kind of thinking he could beat Roderick, even though Roderick needed a win there in that Continental Classic, but I could see him because with him already going over to Mexico all the time and defending that kind of fits, but you know, it is what it is. I have Kyle Fletcher winning for 7 points.
7-6-7. Oh boy. We literally can't get through a podcast without that happening anymore.
No, you can't. I watched two of the bowl games today while I was sitting around after I got home from work. And I'm telling you what, I think announcers do it on purpose. First of all, the Northwest, the Minnesota game was like 6-7 at half. So they said 6-7. They didn't say 7-6. And then there was like 6 minutes and 50 seconds left, and the announcer's like, there's 6 or 7 minutes left in the game. It's like, no, there's 6 minutes and 56 seconds.
Yeah, like, shut up. Yeah.
I know what you're doing, and then my kids are saying it. I'm saying it. It's a problem.
Well, it's a huge thing at basketball games right now, especially if somebody's at the free throw line and there's 66 points, and they hit, then all the kids go nuts. It's just it won't die.
It's never gonna die, man. That's in the lexicon forever.
Yeah.
See, you know, we've matured a little bit because used to be on this podcast, we'd always say 69 and you giggle. You know, you can't keep it. Tanner couldn't do it.
Oh my! You guys should do a podcast, and I'll happily join for that. Where we just say all, we go to a list of naughty phrases and see which ones Tanner giggles at.
I need something to heal my abdomen from laughing so much.
Would that be an explicit in the first 30 seconds?
Yes.
Listen, YouTube has changed the same.
Yeah, they changed. Yeah.
You can drop the F bomb quicker than 10 minutes. Yeah. I think it's like a minute.
Yeah, well,
they kind of switched it up a little bit, but either way, where are we at? I don't even know what we're talking about.
Kyle Fletcher versus John Moxley. Paul's pick to go. We agreed across the board. Paul's going to Protostar Kyle Fletcher for 3. So we all think it's going to be the Callis family finals.
Yeah. It's just crazy, right? Because John Moxley is so good.
Yep.
But we're just like, it's not happening. So if it happens, though, like.
Well, it's more of even a compliment to the rise of Kyle Fletcher.
Yeah, too. For sure. That's kind of where I'm at with it. It's just like, it's good business all the way around if Mox loses. But if he wins, though, we're like, oh, shit, he's still got one in the chamber. Like you said last week, don't sleep on Mox. So I ultimately, at the end of the day, think that this is another one of those well-built finals here.
Well, and here's where it gets interesting, because the next semifinal match is the one that a lot of people thought they were holding in the chamber, as Daniel Martin here on YouTube says, as a new AEW fan, I thought they would build Takeshita versus Okada for All In. I think this is going to be a long story. I think this match is the first of quite a few matches they're going to have. They're both in big matches coming up at Wrestle Kingdom in a week or so. So I think, it's an interesting spot to have it, but I think there's a big reason why they're doing it now. So the other semifinal, let me get the graphic. Takeshita versus Okada. These two have been not at each other's throats, but they've had a lot of tension here the last few months. It's finally coming to a head here. And we'll see who we think is going to be taking on Kyle Fletcher in the finals. So who wants to start us off here?
I'll go. I think looking at this, I had a hard time picking it. And then once I picked it, I was like, man, it shouldn't have been that hard. I think this is the future of AEW. So I picked Konosuke for 6 points.
I mean, you're not wrong. Again, I thought just like everybody else, this was the finals. This is what we were building towards. Takeshita was going to take the belt off Okada. I think there's some stuff going on at Wrestle Kingdom that I think Konosuke Takeshita winning this match over Okada and eventually winning the Continental Classic and taking that into the Wrestle Kingdom on January 4th, I think it is, right? Something like that. Oof. I got Takeshita, and I think I got a 7 left. I'm going to go with Takeshita over Okada for 7. I might have miscalculated here.
You have not used your 7 yet.
I'm going to use
it. No, he hasn't.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I got some little numbers left. I was hoping to have big numbers left, but then the heat of the battle, I changed my strategy. I wasn't cool under pressure. The weight of this belt is killing me. I've had it for a whole 4 hours. All right, maybe 6 hours. When did you drop it off? Around 1?
6 or 7.
6 or 7.
Majin said, big take, going to celebrate beating Okada with some Cinnabon.
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah.
Well, this...
I might celebrate just, with some Cinnabon, too.
This just got interesting, boys, because I'm differing. I'm taking Kazuchika Okada for 1.
Oh, Tanner wants this belt back.
It was a hard one for me to pick. I think there's just, like I said, there's more to this feud than just this match. I think Okada cheats the win. I think the refs... distracted. He hits a low blow or something. And then I think we'll see that tension of Takeshita being pissed that he lost running through the finals. And I know you can't interfere or anything, but if a ref's down or something. So I'm taking Okada for one. And Paul also is taking Okada for one.
Which side do you want to be on here? Obviously, you don't want to be on the right side.
So the championship, Paul and I have Okada versus Fletcher. You guys have Takeshita versus Fletcher. Paul, we'll start with Paul's pick. He has Okada coming out of this whole thing as still the unified champion, because that's the only way the unified championship is still going to be a thing, because they've this whole international, continental, unified things, a cluster. I hate it. He has Okada for two in the finals over Kyle. And I actually agreed with Paul. I have Okada for two in the finals. So we have more on the finals than we do in the first match. So if Okada loses the first match, we automatically lose two matches. So
yeah, this is huge.
Yep. What say you guys, Takeshita or Fletcher? For you guys,
I'm going with a 5-point pick here for the protostar, Kyle Fletcher.
Wow. And see, the interesting thing about him being in it too, and if it's, you know, three guys of the Callis family, they could get Fletcher involved with this tension amongst the other two. This could be a huge story going on in 2026 with all three of them involved.
Interesting.
How many points, Shep? I didn't catch your points.
Five.
That's interesting. That changes the whole dynamic because, like you said, if somebody loses this match in the semis and doesn't even get to this point, that's two losses.
Yeah, this is the kind of the toughest one of the year that we do because we pick a match and we don't even know who's going to be in it. So,
well, I'm going to take Takeshita to win the thing, and I think what I got two left. I got a two and a what? One. I forgot. I think
you got two and a four.
All right, I'm going to take two on Takeshita to win the whole thing, even though I would put 10 points on it if I had it. But I'm going to take Takeshita to be your Continental Champion at 2 points, and then they'll figure out what to do with the belts later.
So you're looking at him, and more than likely, I think Takeshita goes over at Wrestle Kingdom. So all of a sudden, you come out of Wrestle Kingdom, and Takeshita's going to have three belts.
Yeah. Because if
Okada only loses in the tournament, he loses the Continental, but he's still the international champion.
No. He's wrestling for two. He's gonna at Wrestle Kingdom. He's going for the Global Heavyweight Championship. I don't know if they're merging those two. It's a winner take all.
Oh, it's precious. Okay.
Yeah.
But that's another company, man. I ain't worried about what other companies
are. Yeah, but the national continental.
Listen.
The 102 West 8th Street belt
has Takeshita not proven that he's a stud. He's one of the foundational pieces for the future for this company. Why wouldn't you? Kyle Fletcher, they just signed him to a – he just re-signed. Massive deal. He's not going anywhere for a while.
Nobody needs gold.
He does need gold, but I think you got to pull the trigger quicker with Takeshita and him getting made and beating Okada and going on this run, I think, establishes him. Then you're going into 2026 with a red-hot Fletcher, a red-hot Takeshita. Man, the mid-card, upper mid-card of this company is filling in real nice. Like, it just – and I don't pick against Takeshita very often. So, I love that dude.
I mean, anyway
– I don't think you're wrong. Yeah, you're not wrong.
If you have a Takeshita-Fletcher match, it's going to bang.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Well, and another reason I got Okada going over Fletcher, Fletcher beat Okada earlier in the Continental Classic.
True. And you also have to factor in, though, too, we're in this weird paradigm with Takeshita where I think he's on his way out of the Don Callis family.
Yes.
So you guys could be right with the shenanigans happening. Fletcher wins it via some shenanigans and screws over Takeshita. the Okada. But at the end of the day, I think this is making Takeshita a babyface. And Chef is so pissed, he's leaving the stream. You have to deduct points for that.
But I literally think, and I know Paul went with Gabe Kidd earlier, but I think, I mean, it's good to be decided at Continental Classics. We went in all different directions. Well, Paul and I agreed, but nerds. Paul and I disagreed on Darby and Gabe Kidd. So,
yeah, you guys are nerds.
Yeah, all I know. Proud
dude,
nerd.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Made of it time.
Yeah, that's what people without title belts around their shoulders say.
Oh boy. Main event time. Four-way match for the AEW World Championship. Samoa Joe defending against Swerve Strickland, Hangman Adam Page, and Maxwell Jacob Friedman, MJF. I am pumped for this one.
Yeah, buddy. Woo.
And we'll start with Sir Paul's pick here. Paul has Samoa Joe walking out victorious with 6 confidence points.
Oh,
damn. I mean,
son of a biscuit there, huh?
He wins this belt. He earned it with that pick.
100%. Yep. That and Gabe Kidd. I mean,
no, I mean, yeah, like you can't knock it.
Yep.
Those are some bold ass picks. It reminds me of a young me a month ago.
Real quick, a few comments. Modern said Takeshita wins the tournament. Fletcher is going to win the world title in 2026. Putting the Continental title on Fletcher hinders that. And he's taking MJF here to win the title.
Okay. Spoiler alert, Majin.
Yeah.
I'm taking MJF for one.
Ooh. Oh, look at you. You change your pick from Between Two Beers Christmas show, you sly fox.
Who'd you pick on the Christmas show? I don't remember.
No.
Joe.
Oh, that's what
he's doing. I'm like, whoever he says, he's not going to go in the 26th. I know what he's doing.
And JPJ had a really good response about, you know, cashing in this, doing this. And I'm like, oh, man, you're right. You're right. Okay. You're right. And I just let it go.
JPJ does that. He likes to tip the hand and then convince. And he doesn't to me. I don't know how many times I've changed my mind. Because that Boston gets in him and he just starts going. And I'm like, that's a really good fucking point. Damn.
I'll go next. We'll leave the champ for last.
Oh, you're so sweet.
I think, back in Revolution, they had Christian Cage cash in the belt. And it was unsuccessful and it was a cluster. I think they learned their lesson of not doing that again for a while. I got MJF for 7 confident points. You go back to 2023 when he was champ, fun run the entire year, but he didn't have too many baby faces chasing him because he was kind of a baby himself, teaming with Adam Cole for a majority of the year. Now he can be a heel champ. AEW's established some really good baby faces like Hangman, like Swerve. You got Ospreay who'll be coming back. You got different feuds of guys who can chase a heel MJF. I think that's when AEW's at its best. MJF for 7.
Woo. Can I just say, and I said this, I think, on Beards. I might have. It's been a minute. We did ours on Monday for the first time ever. Isn't it kind of crazy that we're not factoring Hangman or Swerve into this at all?
Yes. 100%.
Because they're that good of performers. They are former champs. And we are just like, there's no way they're winning it.
Yep.
That's how crazy this is. And I liked all the stuff MJF said. I enjoyed the stuff where he said, you know, you guys want to see me do it. Here, I'm calling my shot. I'm not being sneaky. I'm going right up to your faces and telling you exactly what I'm going to do. And I think it would absolutely hit if he did exactly what he said he was going to do. Because why else would he cash in unless we're going to do some baby face arc with MJF? Why would he be so open about it and do it in a four-way when he could have just done it in a one-on-one situation? I'm taking MJF as well. I think that this makes sense. I only have a 4 on the board, I think. So I'll put all that there. Plus that you guys all took MJF as well. If we're all wrong.
Not Paul.
Paul be the new champ.
Milk.
And then we'll all cry ourselves to sleep at night.
Well, to run down the picks real fast.
Can we just pretend his picks didn't happen?
Yeah. Oh, Paul, I didn't get your file.
Yeah, what are you talking about? I didn't see the email, dude. What do you mean you made these picks?
Who's Paul?
Paul. Paul's got FTR for 7, Gabe Kidd for 5, Babes of Wrath for 9, the Death Riders for 4, Kyle Fletcher for 3, Okada for 1, then Okada again in the finals for 2, Statlander for 8, Samoa Joe for 6, Pluggo, the reigning defending KLP predictions champion. As
you're goddamn right.
FTR for 3, Darby Allin for 8, Babes of Wrath for 9, the Conglomeration and Tony Storm for 1, Kyle Fletcher for 6, Takeshita for 7, Takeshita again in the finals for 2, Chris Statlander for 5, MJF for 4, Shep as FTR for 9, Darby Allin for 2, Babes of Wrath for 4, the Death Riders for 3, Kyle Fletcher for 7, Takeshita for 6, Fletcher again in the finals for 5, Chris Statlander for 8, and MJF for 1. I have FTR for 6, Darby Allin for 4, Babes of Wrath for 8, Death Riders for 3, Kyle Fletcher for 5, Okada for 1, Okada again in the finals for 2, Statlander for 9, and MJF for 7.
You know what, though? If you look at my picks, you know what it really spells out?
Loser.
It spells out perfect fucking card.
Well,
Shep, I will say, usually the women's matches screw you over. I think you're good to go this time.
I hope just for the sake of that he gets those wrong.
We all get them wrong. He gets them wrong. So
But it's funnier with that way because then I can be like, Shep, you're just not
going to. Actually, the one I hope the Babes Wrath lose their belts already.
Because it's only 4 and we're.
It's only 4 and heavy hitter. 9 and 8.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. But I think they've done such a good job with this tournament, building up this women's division, building up this women's tag division, that if you pulled this like the pop that Willow and Harley are getting right now, if you pulled the trigger and had put it on Mercedes and Athena, not so much Athena, but Mercedes, and you just I think it would take this air out of the sails a little bit, where it's like, oh man, we have, and nothing against Mercedes, but in storyline, I think people are happy that there's, because that would just be more belts that she's got tied up that she's not truly defending, and that we're trying to get the TBS championship back in the mix. So, well, I hope it's got to stay there.
To your point, is you talk about the pop that the Babes of Wrath are getting, all of a sudden, if you make that switch. To think you're going to get some awful heat on Mercedes and Athena. I don't think you're going to get that much heat.
Yeah, and you don't need it.
Then you don't need it. So, yeah, you don't want to really, like you said, take the wind out of the sails of Babes of Wrath. So it should continue.
Yeah, the reason that you created this belt was to give more women on your card more opportunities. Don't suck it in with people that already have championship belts. Because we got to remember, Athena is still the ROH Women's Champion.
Yeah, she's been for like 100 years. Yeah,
I think that they're going to feud because I think we're going to see
belt and belt.
I think we're going to see belt versus belt potentially with Athena. And is it Final Battle coming up? Or no, they got something else coming up.
They do an awful job of letting you know what reviews come up to like the week of.
I was going to say Final Battle. I watched Final Battle. I'm a moron. That was like
their pay-per-views are really good, but like they don't advertise them on AEW television until the week of. It drives me kind of nuts.
Yeah.
But this is AEW's last pay-per-view until Revolution in March.
Last time you guys are going to see this.
Could be.
I'm going to spray B2B right across.
Oh, boy. Not the BWO. Don't get it confused for the BWO.
Oh, I'm going to just B2B, baby. Right across there. JPJ and Ice Face. Get new side plates. But
my last question for you guys is, I mean, I think we can all be in agreement. The four-way match for the world title is going to main event. What opens the show?
I think you open the show with your Continental Classic. So,
I think you got to go back to back.
Back to semis. Yeah.
Let them rest maybe to the right before the final.
And
which one would you open of the two?
I think you're going to open with Fletcher and Mox and then Okada, Takeshita. And then after seeing those two matches, you definitely need to give the crowd a rest. That's when you do the mixed nuts.
Well, it would make sense with the Death Riders in that too.
Yeah. Can I make a prediction?
Sure.
I think in the 0 hour, I think
Payan and Maya's world, Maya World is going to beat Sisters of Sin.
I like
and then,
that.
And then Tony Khan's going to give them the graphic.
I like that.
I think they're getting signed tomorrow night, officially.
They got a lot of good pub around them right now.
And they're very, very talented, and it's long overdue that both of those women get signed. I think that this is how they do it.
You know what the 0 hour is missing, Pluggo?
The Rizzler.
A little boom!
Boom! Boom! Boom! Shep's picks are doom! Doom! Doom!
Wow. You guys can't you can't make that shit up. That's why pro wrestling is real, right?
I knew he'd lean into fucking, it. I knew Shep would be pissed.
Fucking shove a chicken bacon. Yeah, dude. Fucking
don't
nose.
Worry. I am always down to run the game. I don't care. Shut up, Shep. Go have a double chunk chocolate cookie. Why don't you get a chicken? I've never been.
I've almost thought about switching my Costco membership over to Sam's Club because of that shit. Every time I check out and you're looking over there, you see that fucking cookie on the picture.
Cookie's good, bro. Off. I had a slice of pizza and a cookie there not too long ago. Good stuff.
Oh,
We have a Costco. I've never been in it because I don't have a membership.
I haven't got a chicken bake yet, though. So
you got to get the chicken bake.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Boom!
You know, that's... You know, after looking, that's a perfect fit for QT Marshall is just to hang out with those guys.
Yeah, Majin's spot on there with that comment.
Yeah, whatever happened there, like, I don't think it went the way that they expected it to go. But I will say, out of all of that, like I said, Maya World and High End getting that spot, getting that and stepping up and taking on that spot, I think has shown goodwill. That's why they've gotten more opportunities. I think Tony's going to sign them tomorrow.
Yep, I like that. I like that. So any other bold predictions tomorrow? I guess my bold prediction is not too bold, but I think Cope and Christian come back tomorrow night.
I got Shep losing again.
Yeah, it's okay.
I got this thing staying with me for at least a couple more days.
I can't wait till you have to drive 45 minutes down to Hemi.
Do you think I'm driving 45 minutes to hand this to you?
What are you going to fly?
Yeah. On my private jet, baby.
That's what I'm talking about. It was an airport.
I'm sending the bill to the Kicking Out Podcast Incorporated.
Yeah.
Judith in accounting will take care of all of my paperwork.
I was gonna make a really bad office comment, and we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, you seem like a guy that would make bad office comments. How many times you've been in HR's office in your life, Shep?
I am HR at work.
It helps that his name's on the building. I mean,
I was gonna say that doesn't bode well for.
I am HR at work.
I might drive down and meet you boys for this. I might.
Yeah.
I tell you what. Once you have to deliver this to Tanner or me, okay. In Rochester. Tanner's in there on Fridays.
Oh, so you're making me come down. I can't make you all come to Fort Wayne. Okay.
No. Common ground here. Common ground.
What if I pulled a Shep and just decided to wait until Revolution?
Hey, he opened that can of worms.
The thing is, though, too, Revolution, is there's like a six-week build here.
See, Martin said this title's like the One Ring. I swear, everyone who touched it turns heel while they have it.
I'm not a heel. I'm just a confident champion, Miles.
I was a happy champion.
You're a heel. You were a heel the second you came out your mama, Shep.
That's pretty good.
The nice thing would have been showing up, give it to me. I had to have a championship celebration without a championship. I promoted it as such, maybe look like an asshole, Shep. I had to hang out with Tanner.
Yeah, that I'm sorry. That's me, punishment. Yeah.
Just me and Tanner, some lady that was really vibing.
Oh my God,
she was awesome.
She was pumped.
Was that before the Fisher Show?
Oh. At the Fisher Show.
At the Fisher Show, there was a person two rows in front of us or three rows in front of us, and she was just like she did not like any heel, and was talking all this mad shit to the heels. And then I also sat back and the dude in front behind me bumped my head
Like, I got knocked in the head. I had stitches in my hand. I had to clap like this the whole time. Couldn't even show. You know, you better.
It was rough. I thought I was going to take him out on a stretcher at one point.
Wow. All that to get to one AEW show.
Yeah, man. Because I was supposed to have a championship celebration. Well, I had adoring fans lined up to take pictures with the real KOP champion. And
they had their markers ready.
Yeah, and I had to tell them, like, Shep, sorry, drop the ball.
Okay, so when you bring it down before Revolution, and you can wait to the end, I 100% agree. Because when I win, I usually don't put the belt on screen. The belt's thrown in a briefcase in a corner, you know.
I know, whatever. You're a terrible champion.
So, you come down, I'll buy you a non-alcoholic beverage at the Lake Bar, and then you can hand it over, and I'll even buy Tanner a Coors Banquet original, since he's a Denver fan.
And he's losing. Is that what you're saying? That's if you win. We'll see. We'll figure it out. I won't be like you. I plan on representing the Kicking Out podcast with dignity and respect of a champion that it needs. Not that it wants, that it needs to get this thing back on track. Tanner's like, you're a piece of shit. He's trying to be nice. Who got involved with this plug out guy? What the fuck?
I think you make a shitty baby face.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't know. I might be a little bit of a tweener.
That's true.
Like, you guys may hate.
Mom said, man, I don't care who wins, but Shep can't get the title. He'll just put it into a briefcase like Mox. It's true.
Yeah, dude, this is too good looking of a belt to put to a briefcase.
Yep. I always have it on display. It's just
not on. I hope it's big. I hope it's big enough for me to do the Shawn Michaels. That's all.
Oh boy.
No, Jesus. On that note, why don't you plug yourself there, Pluggo?
All right.
I know where they can find you, so they can see this Shawn Michaels picture.
When I send this title back, I'll make sure to send a bottle of Purell with it, so you guys can sanitize it.
Tanner, send me the link. When I win this thing, I got to buy a new fucking belt.
But no, I am Pluggo, and don't worry, guys. I don't think I have the body of a Shawn Michaels, but that would be, you know, we'll see. Maybe after
2026 goals. There you go, Pluggo.
Yeah, maybe after another, maybe after a few more non-alcoholic beverages, I'll feel the urge to. But no, I am Pluggo. You can see me every Thursday night over on Love Wrestling CA on Between Two Beards with JPJ this Thursday, January 1st, for the first time ever on January 1st. We're doing the Beardies, the 5th Annual Beardy Awards. Some of your favorite wrestlers have been nominated.
I voted.
You can vote again, by the way. You can spam that vote, by the way. We leave it up to you guys. So vote away. More announcements on nominees will be dropping later. Every Saturday, this Saturday, I'm talking LPW. Well, no, last week was LPW. I'm talking independent wrestling with Blair Pacheco for Exposure. I'm for Exposure Pod. We're doing the Independent Wrestler of the Year Awards, the Exposies, for the second time ever. I do a lot of award shows this time of year, but then you can find me at Pluggo on all social media platforms, and then you can find me over at Chef's House later tucking him in because I am his daddy.
Wow. Guy wins one prediction show.
That's right. You guys, I told you.
One prediction show.
Oh, my God.
If you watch me...
All right, I'm going to change the subject here because you got Giggle McGiggleson there at the fucking bottom that thinks you're the funniest thing since Matt Rife.
Tanner's the man, dude. Just because you don't get it doesn't mean that he doesn't get it.
You said,
hey, just because Shep and Paul are my co-hosts doesn't mean I can't pop when somebody makes fun of them.
So who do you have as independent wrestler of the year?
Me personally, or what we have for the exposure?
No, you, yeah, personally. I don't want to ruin your.
I would say I think Effie had a really solid year as GCW champ. He did a lot of traveling with that belt. He defended that belt in other promotions. I got to be honest with you, I would put Mercedes Moné on my independent just because of the impact that she had on the indies. Now, is she wrestling a true indie schedule? No, but I don't think we can talk about independent wrestling this year without talking about the impact of her just having those belts and traveling like that and doing the belt collector gimmick. So those are two there. Atticus Koger is another one.
I've liked what Priscilla Kelly and Shotzi Blackheart have done. There's a lot. It's hard. Independent wrestler is hard to pick because there's so many good independent wrestlers. None of the wrestlers that I just spoke about are on the exposes list, if that tells you anything. Okay. You have to tune in tomorrow night at 4 o'clock, tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock before World's End.
I thought Shotzi had a really, really big year.
Yeah, she won the Garage Beer Championship over against Cardona at Homecoming, which was a huge and a fun match. She had a really good Mania Week run, which is always a big indicator of it. Marcus Mathers is another one that's had a great year. I mean, there's a lot.
Is there anybody bigger in the Indies though than Cardona right now?
I would say this year's Cardona is a little bit fallen off than last year's Cardona.
Because it's the same Cardona, almost.
Well, no, because he's doing more televised. He's with TNA more this year.
TNA more, WWE once.
Yeah, he's been doing a little bit more of that. But again, in terms of indie, no, I don't think there's a bigger.
Nobody neighbor. Promotes themselves like yeah. he does. I mean,
like he's it, a king. It could it easily. I easily could have put Cardona on the list and said, yeah, he's. But I thought there was just a few others I'd like to give that spot to.
Yeah.
Does Cardona make a Royal Rumble appearance this year or next year?
Yes.
No. I'm going no.
I one thing Plugo and I agree upon. I think after
he agreed on a few things.
I think after his
like little your bedtime.
Jeez.
I'm not used to this chair. It goes farther back.
Yeah, don't fall over. That would that would be good.
Yeah, no, I could see the Saudi Prince being like, we want Cardona, man. We want Zack Ryder.
He definitely wants Jericho. We know that.
So. Yeah. So.
So you think that's where Jericho makes his return?
Yeah.
Not in the Montreal Saturday night's main event.
Not that he's
from Montreal, but it is Canada. From Canada, and they would pop for him bigger there. We shall see what happens with old Chris Jericho. Maybe he shows up at World's End.
That'd be quite a surprise.
You never know, man. Never
when
know.
Is his contract officially done? End of the year?
Yeah.
31st?
Yeah.
No.
Not that I think everything that he's done in the company is bad. I just think that they're in a better place now. He was absolutely needed at the beginning. He did a lot of good things. I some things didn't hit, some things did.
I think it is.
He can go do his swan song thing in WWE. Yep. They'll give him the retirement,
Hall of Fame,
all that good stuff, and I think there's nothing wrong with that.
Yep, I agree.
All right, and you weren't on this show, Plugo. I don't think so. I don't remember. I think it was just Tanner and I. So in all of wrestling in 2026, give me one bold prediction.
Yep. Shit. Shit.
I did. It could be anything. Any promotion.
We did ours with AEW, but you can do yours with AEW.
Oh, okay.
And my AEW actually spanned, spread into like New Japan a little bit.
It did. Well, of course. Bold I mean, prediction. My God. Yeah.
That's tough, man. That's a good one. I don't know. I'm trying to think of something. Javon Evans wins the championship in 2026. Not in 15 years like Mark Henry wants him to.
Yeah, what the?
Yeah, what was that?
I like Mark, but he says some weird stuff. Like in 2025, he has said some things out there. I don't know.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't necessarily know like what bold prediction I could make off the top of my head without really thinking about the landscape. I think that there's a lot of ways you could go with a lot of different things. Plugo loses the title to JPJ, so B2B title. Yeah, that's the bold
prediction. Well, we're calling it the B2B title now, Maj. I'm going to block your ass.
Joke's on you, Tanner. Pull that tab on those list of predictions that Paul made. Those are JPJs.
Wait a minute. Wasn't it Hollywood Hogan that beat Nash with the finger?
Yeah, so, fingerboard poke doom, 99.
I wake up.
JPJ going to beat him with the finger poke of doom? Like, just hand it to him?
Yeah. Listen, I wake up every day hoping that that would be my bold prediction, a finger poke of doom scenario makes its way into mainstream wrestling in 2026 because I wait for it. I was hoping the Hurt Syndicate would do it for the national title. And they didn't. Because why would they? Because they're not cool enough for that, I guess.
All right, I got one last question.
Sure. Just
it's Friday night and I'm rambling. What are your guys' take, and I think it's the best thing that could ever happen to them, this AMC deal for TNA?
It's a good deal for them. They use the partnership with NXT / WWE to their advantage. Without that, they don't get this TV deal. I've called them for a long time the promotion that just won't die. They should have been dead two or three times in the past, and they've made it through some awful TV deals like Access, which nobody has. I mean, I'm not the I was
great the Great Outdoors Network.
Yep. Yeah. I was a big TNA guy back in the day. I don't watch it much because I don't have Access, but now that they're on AMC and I do have it, I'll tune in once in a while. Probably not as consistently as I do AEW, but hey, the more wrestling on TV, the better. So good for them.
Plus, there's another show that goes on Thursday nights at 8 that you should be
watching. That's true.
TNA doesn't start till 9.
Moving till 9, yeah.
They're scared of you guys.
When I started doing wrestling content, I thought, oh, I got to consume everything all the time to be hip and up on all of it. I've since learned that that's not the case. Just
how much.
Know what you need to do and do what you got to do to be successful or do what you like. But there was some time. There was a running gag for a while where I was like, how long to this week can I watch TNA until I turn it off? Because it was that bad.
It's like SmackDown right now.
It was a hard 2 hours.
3 hours.
So. And they've done a great job, especially like if you do want to factor in the WWE partnership of it. They've done a good job with, like, even before that partnership, they were doing a great job with like producing new stars and talents and getting some things going. And hey, being on AMC's, I mean, I can't say it's a bad thing till I see it. Do I think that they're all of a sudden going to become the number two wrestling promotion in the world? If they haven't already, why would they now? I don't know. We'll see. But I mean, yeah, like you said, more wrestling on TV is good for everybody involved. And I don't know how long WWE is going to keep funneling talent to them. I don't know how long the partnership's going to last, but I have to imagine AMC's like, yeah, we'll take those people to come over here to help boost our ratings. So we'll see now that they got their TV deal, if it's a sink or swim thing with WWE, because Leon Slater's wrestling for the NXT championship in a week at New Year's Evil. So the partnership is clearly still there now. So we'll see how long it lasts, but I'm in for it for sure.
I'm actually asking about the WB sale, concerning AEW. I kind of hit on it a little bit, Majin, a few weeks ago when I did a solo pod, and I said I just didn't have too many thoughts on it right now since they're under contract no matter what through 2027, and they've still got a lot of moving parts there to figure out with Netflix or Flix or Paramount and Warner Brothers Discovery. Like, till we know more, I don't know what it means for the future.
And I challenge people with this. So Netflix has ABC shows, Fox shows, NBC shows, different movies. They're in the getting content to their platform game. They've already paid the WWE, right?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Well, WWE's going to be mad that they're running AEW on a Wednesday night on Netflix. If that were to ever get to that point, like, who cares? Why would the WWE care if they're getting their money? It's not going to affect their ratings. People, you know what I'm saying? Like, these streaming services, the name of the game is just like, getting as much content as possible, getting as much live content as possible. So at the end of the day, I don't think that Warner Brothers will go, well, we can't run this AEW thing because we already have WWE. Like, that's not what Netflix is all about. And I think it's more on the movie side of thing than it is. But we'll see. I don't know. I'm not smart enough to figure out the logistics of it, but just an optics like this Hulu has – next day shows of all the networks, right?
Yeah. ESPN used to have UFC, and I don't remember the promotion. It's not at
Bellator.
One of their rival companies. They had them both, so it's been.
Yeah, imagine that's a great point. As I'm taking over the show that I guest hosted one time, they can. they would care, but what are they going to say? They already got their money.
Again, $5 billion. So
what is WWE going to do? Are they going to go? Yeah. We're pulling our product from you guys. Netflix would be like, Here's the contract for one, two. Bye. Guess who's not? You know what I mean? Like, let's be honest. Like, Fox said bye bye to SmackDown pretty quick. Like, wrestling is, we always forget as fans, we're in a very niche bubble. Sure. We're in this very tiny, we think it's huge, and it is huge, and it's bigger than it's ever been. But at the end of the day, Netflix will be like, oh no, you guys want out? That's all right. We'll just run another season of Stranger Things.
Exactly.
We'll be just fine. And I bet you AEW would happily come to Netflix.
Yep.
Like, it's just crazy. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll see. We'll let that one play out.
Yep.
But AEW will be fine as long as Uncle Tony wants to keep funneling money into it.
Which I think he will. So, Shep, you got anything to plug?
I don't have anything to plug. But tune in next Sunday. Are we doing one Sunday?
I think so. If we have the bodies to do it.
Okay. Tune in Sunday as your newly crowned champ will be here gloating.
Where's my bleach? Where's my bleach? Where's my drink? Jesus.
Wow.
Jesus, Chef.
I'm sorry. Hopefully. Yeah, shining up for me real nice. It does need a cleaning.
It does. It smells like shame and regret.
Well, on that note,
that's the rotten tuna fish.
But thanks everybody for tuning in to our final AEW pay-per-view prediction show of 2025. These are always some of our favorite shows to do. Thanks, Pluggo, for hopping on and defending your title tonight as you're pulling a John Cena and turning it upside down.
Upside down.
Support the Kicking Out podcast by going on your favorite audio podcast platform. Give us that 5-star rating and review. Easy, free way to support us. We really appreciate it. You can find us on all social media at Kicking Out Pod. And if you want to support us and spend some money doing so, you can do that in two ways. We got a store, the kickingoutshop.com. We got t-shirts, hoodies, zip ups, coffee mugs, such as this.
When do I get my championship t-shirt?
It's in the mail. And
you got my face on a t-shirt you're gonna send me? Kicking Out Podcast is official.
Sure. And we got a pro wrestling tee store. So type in Kicking Out Podcast on pro wrestling tees. We got some t-shirts on there as well that are exclusive on pro wrestling tees. And you can follow me at Tanner Lee 92. You can follow Shep at the Shep 27. You can follow Paul Zartman, who never shows up to work, at Paul Zartman 87. And plug your handle one more time.
At Pluggo _ on Twitter, and then at Pluggo everywhere else. Because there's some
there
fool that has that logo on Twitter that started the account 13 years ago and never uses it.
For Pluggo, for Shep, for the non-existent Paul, I'm Tanner Lee. Join us again Sunday as we kick out yet another podcast.
This is where I say goodbye and good night.